We're continuing a series with the book of Acts. We walked through the first week. We kind of looked at Jesus' ascension. We talked about what, you know, they were looking up into heaven. Jesus gave them the command to go be my witnesses and to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. We talked about what it meant. And then the second week was Pentecost. We talked about the Holy Spirit, God himself who comes to be with us, what it means to be baptized, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, in the life with God. Last week we talked about what it means to go forward and be his witnesses, to share our story of faith with other people, to be ready at all times with anyone to share what it means to be in a relationship with the living God of creation through Jesus Christ, his Son. Today we're going to look at, now as Luke kind of begins to detail out the apostles and the life with the apostles. For many of us, we read the book of Acts as kind of a description of what's going on, you know, just a historical kind of account. But I would posit that as Luke writes this and as he recorded these things, remember, he is talking about it as the continued work of Jesus Christ through and in the life of these disciples. That this is not a description of the church, it is a prescription, a prescription for how the church should be and how to be the church. And so at the very, very beginning of God's family, the church of God, the ecclesia, the community, the assembly of God's people, we have this pattern established in the disciples, the apostles, and all those. Remember, Pentecost, 3,000 people joined the church at Pentecost, and now we see in this account people continue to come to faith in Jesus Christ, believe that he's Messiah, trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins, and his sacrifice on the cross as the Lamb of God who overcame the sins of the world. And so what are they about? And now Luke is going to tell us, what does it mean to be the church or a community of God's people? And so we see this account. Richie read it very well. And there's just three things. And this is more of a communion meditation today as we walk through it, because we're going to be going to the table together to remember Christ's sacrifice, remember his power and presence in our lives, and remember that we're to go forward in life sharing that message with others. So the first thing we see as Luke is describing what he has seen in the early church and what God is doing and how God works with his people is, first of all, it is essential for us as the disciples were and as the apostles were and all those who followed them to be devoted. Number one, to be devoted. What were they devoted to? If you look in that passage right there, it says in the very first verse, all those who followed Jesus, they devoted themselves to these four things. To the teaching of the apostles, that is, the teaching of what we have as Holy Scripture now, the Gospels, the good news about Jesus Christ. Remember, the apostles are teaching, they're preaching. You know, this is not so much about devoting themselves to good preaching as it is the teaching of the apostles. What I do on Sunday is we read what the Scriptures tell us, and we reflect on its truth. We talk about its application in our lives, but it's not about what I say or whether I'm a good speaker. It's about what's true in God's Word and what God has to tell us. Do you hear me, church? Yes or no? So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Are you devoted to the teaching of God? Are you devoted to the Scriptures, to the Holy Word of God, what we know to be true about Jesus Christ through the eyewitness accounts in the Gospels, what we know to be true of the early church through Paul's letters and Peter's letters and John's letters, what we know to be true in the book of Revelation? These are all things that were taught by the apostles that were to be handed down. Jesus told those apostles, remember, when he left, that they were to baptize, they were to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that Jesus taught them, right? That's what Jesus said. So these very early Christians, they didn't have a Bible of their own, but they were already knew to be devoted through the Holy Spirit and their immersion in God's life, to be devoted to the apostles' teachings, and devoted to what we now call the Scriptures. The second thing they were devoted to, that is a question. Are you devoted to the reading of God's Word? Are you devoted to what God has to say through his revelation? It's very important. The second thing is the fellowship. The fellowship, that is, being connected to the family of God in a meaningful way. There are a lot of people who think that, well, I don't know a lot, but I've come across a few in my life who claim that they are Christian without any church family. That is just not true. not according to God's word. As a matter of fact, Paul argues and commands the church, you do not forsake the gathering of one with another. Jesus said, you, plural, are my body. He said, wherever you are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. Notice the emphasis on community. You hear me, church? You guys away? You know, we're part of a connected group. I am not the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. You are not the body of Christ. You, connected to the family of God, are the body of Christ. And it's so important. In our modern age of individualism, of I do it my way, regardless of what it matters, I don't need this, I don't need that, that's just a bunch of rigmarole, all that kind of stuff. You can say all that all you want, but you will come a time, you will face the judge of this universe, and you will have his opinion on it as to whether rejecting his bride on this earth is okay with him. But I want to suggest, as the disciples and the apostles and all those who came to faith in that very first time of the church saw, they were together and fellowship with one another. They considered them connected to one another. The third thing, and we'll talk about that more in the next one, but the third thing there they were devoted to was the breaking of bread. This is not about eating. That is a specific phrase that is in reference to this, even in the very earliest part of the church. Remember, this is several weeks after the disciples have seen Jesus, have spent all this time with Jesus. Now it's Pentecost. They've come out. They begin to share the good news about Jesus Christ. And they have already begun to practice with one another what we call Holy Communion. But for them, it was the breaking of bread. It was part of a larger meal for them. But already the disciples had instituted the practice of remembering and breaking the bread together. This is my body, which is given for you. They had already began to recite to one another those very words as they brought new people into the church. Matter of fact, Paul, who's a later convert here, has said it was an already established fact. He says to them, I pass on what I received from the disciples themselves, that on the night he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them. He said, this is my body which is given for you. Paul already, in that very early part, that first century, in those first years, that was already an established pattern in the life of the church. They broke bread together in the name of Jesus Christ to remember his broken body on the cross. And then also, finally, the prayers. They were devoted prayers. They talked to God. They spent time. Matter of fact, we're going to read, they went to the temple together every day to pray to God and to talk to God and to meet with one another. They were devoted to an intimate life with God through prayer. These are the four things. If we do nothing else in our Christian life, Luke has set out this pattern by recording exactly how the church is the church at the very beginning. They were listening to God's words through the apostles' teaching. They were connected to one another in fellowship. They did things together. That's why I'm so excited about Matt and some of our members in the church who are getting together to want to have fellowship beyond this time of worship and praise, to spend regular time together across. We have this beautiful outreach center over there, don't we, congregation? And many of you were instrumental in making sure that happened. And you did that. My thinking and my belief is that you did that with the intention that it would be used for the glory of God. Is that right? Am I wrong in thinking that? I came here after it was well built. But you know, this is what it's intended for. And so we're going to have these times of fellowship. And fellowship is, you know, something that is not optional in the Christian life. We need to be connected to one another and find ways to be connected. And then finally, the breaking of bread, that is the regular practice of Christianity through some of those patterns of worship and praise, and of course, the prayers. And so it is essential to be devoted, as the disciples were devoted, to be of one mind, to be thinking about these things. Second thing is what we've already mentioned, is that it's to be together. To be together. You cannot, again, I'm highlighting this quite a bit, and it is right that we do that, because we're coming to the Lord's table together. We come to the Lord's table together. We don't have communion individually. We have it together, because God has joined us together. We say in the sacrament, when we take the bread, we say, because there is one bread, we who are many are what, church? One body. For we all partake of the one bread. That is there and is said for a reason. We are one body, and we can't forget that. It is essential for us to be together. That is how you learn how to be Christian. You cannot be like Christ without other people in your life. And can I say this to you? It is very hard to be like Christ if the only people you're around are people you get along with well. You listen to me, hear me? It is very hard to grow in your faith when the people you're around all agree with you.
Well, somebody's falling.
Not me. I hope that'd be very embarrassing. I'm going to turn my back so whoever that is can turn off without being embarrassed. So that's not good. Going back to being together, I learned how to love best by learning how to love my enemy. Isn't that true? Jesus said, what credit is you if you love those who love you? Everybody does that. He said, you love those who hate you. Love your enemy. That's hard, isn't it, church? Yes? Amen? That is hard. But forget about our enemies. Let's just talk about our Christian brothers and sisters. People we know are doing their best to love Christ. How many of you have ever been irritated by a brother or sister in faith? Raise your hand. All of our hands should be raised. We have been irritated by others. That's right. There's friction sometimes in the body of Christ. But the scriptures tell us, especially the prophet, like iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As we rub against each other, we become more like Christ. These are the things that teach us how to walk like Jesus, to love others. There's so many commands in scripture that say, love one another, bear with one another, forgive one another. It's hard to do all those one another's without another. Isn't that true? And so it is essential, the disciples knew, we know, that we can be together, that we spend time with each other, just not just in the sanctuary, in very controlled places, but in life, opening our lives to one another in different times, different places. It's something I think our church has been pretty good at. You know, we spend time with one another, we know each other. But sometimes that can cause us to be a very closed and insular community, can it? The only people we spend time with are one another. And as we talked about last week, opening our lives to others allows other people to open their lives to Jesus. The third thing that the disciples did, as we read through here, because it said, as they believed, were together, they had all things in common, they were selling their possessions, belonging, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I love that one, that particular part. It is essential to be aware as a follower of Jesus Christ. The early church was aware of what was going on around them. They are aware of the needs of one another. They had their eyes open. They didn't turn a blind eye. They did not try to ignore what was happening around them in the world. One of the wonderful things it says, as Richie read, they were sharing with one another with glad and generous hearts. And they were praising God, and they found, as a result, favor with all the people around them. They found favor by the way they lived with one another. Other people said, I need that. Isn't that interesting? The way those early Christians who came, remember, when we looked at Pentecost, they came from all over the world. The way they were living together, the way they were relating to one another, those outside of their fellowship, saw that and saw nothing to be displeased with. They were looking at that life and the way they cared about each other, the way they forgave one another, the way they had a common purpose and a common mission in life as something to be envious of, something to want to join. They had favor with all the people. And it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day or daily those who were being saved. Jesus said it this way. He said, they will know you are my disciples. Why? How, church? By the way you love one another. Love one another. Being devoted, being together, being aware of what's happening around us, and not being afraid to step in and care and share your lives with others who need your help is essential. Those were just the basics of what it means to be Christian. And this isn't something, some pie-in-the-sky kind of description of, oh yeah, isn't it nice that that's how they were? This is Luke commending to the people that were coming into the church now at the time he was writing, trying to help them understand, this is how we did it, and this is how it's supposed to be done. To be devoted to these things, the teachings, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, making sure they stayed connected and cared for one another, but also that they opened that caring community to the world around them. And therefore, other people came into their midst because there was a church that cared for their neighbors. These are all simple observations. There's not much to what we're saying today. These are all things that probably, if we grew up in Sunday school, we have all heard in our past, haven't we? But as a reminder that this is what makes a difference in the world, this kind of living. This is what changed the world in the very first century. This type of church, a church that was committed to growing in faith, learning everything that Jesus had to say, and studying it and attending to it, attending to one another, not missing out on those things that remind us of who Jesus is, and praying and having an intimate personal relationship with God himself. I say these things because we're going to the table, and this was the heart and the thing that has endured for over 2,000 years. We've done it in different ways and in different modes and in different manners, but ultimately it comes down to the bread and the cup. When we come together, we honor the Lord through his own words that he gave to his disciples on the night that he gave himself up for us. I've said them already. He gave himself up. He said he took the bread, he blessed it, or he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we come to the table to offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. And just as a word from Paul the Apostle, who reminded us that because we are united in Christ, when we come to the table, we are not to have anything between one another. That if we have anything against someone else, we are to offer forgiveness to them so that we do not drink and eat judgment on ourselves. We are all sinners saved by grace. Amen, church?
Amen.
And so we're all in the same boat. We're all alike. We all want God's best for our lives. Sometimes we have disagreements about what that means and how to do that. But regardless of that, we are all children of God, saved by God's grace and his grace alone. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast in his heavenly banquet. Your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.